This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. For August 27th, we're almost done summer. But then we get around the corner. It's September. It's the hang. There will be some picking, but basically halfway through September and on into October, it's harvest time. And we're all waiting for that new vintage. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to some winners over the last couple of weeks who won awards at various competitions, the Wine Alliance, National Wine Championships, starting with one of the great success stories. That's Fort Barons in Lillooet. Yep, Lillooet, just outside Lytton. And so we're going to talk to Rolf de Bruin, the co-founder of Fort Barons. He'll also give us a crash course on the winemaker who's been winning all these awards. And then we're going to finish the show by talking about vintages with Galen Barnhart, the winemaker at Monte Creek in Kamloops, and Dwight Sick, the winemaker GM at Seven Stones in the Similkameen. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has Music Bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just $1. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. He is Rolf de Bruin. He is the co-founder and the co-leader of Fort Barons in Lillooet. There's lots to talk about. I have in front of me lots of information. But one of the pieces of information that is just burning a hole in my brain is the final data on the Nationals, the Wine Line National Wine Awards of Canada, and your placement in it, Rolf. Is it okay if I just make a fuss here for a second?
Of course, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I got this right. The number 3 top 10 small winery in Canada, the number 6 top BC winery, the number 8 top 25 wineries in Canada, 1 platinum medal, 94 points for the Pinot Noir 2020, 3 gold medals and 92 points for the Merlot Reserve 2019, their Merlot 2019, the small lot Gruner Veltliner, and 2 silver medals and 90 points, Cab Franc Reserve 2019, and the Pinot Gris 2021. Anything I missed?
No, I think that pretty much sums it up.
You know this business well. What effect can winning these awards have on your business at Fort Barons and your wines out in the market?
I hope lots. It's not been an overnight success. We've been doing this for over a dozen years, and we're working really, really hard in order to accomplish something like this. And some years it's easier to work with things than others. You know, if we look back towards the last, I guess, 3 years, because we're spanning 3 vintages with this competition, 2019, 2020, and 2021, were vintages that we were quite pleased with. But I think, you know, things are coming together, coming to this result. I think there's been a lot of people following what we've been doing in Lillooet and saying, okay, you know, it's interesting, but I really do think that this is an affirmation of the fact that we're really on track to show some really exceptional things.
Okay, that's pretty dry. You didn't jump up and down. You didn't celebrate. I mean, you must have been shouting at the ceiling.
We were pretty thrilled, let's put it that way. We initially got news of the medals and winning platinum. So we knew that we had won a platinum and that sort of stuff. So that we were over the moon. And with the overall take of all these medals, we were thrilled. But we had no idea that we would score this well. and in the final top 10 of small winery. So when we heard last Wednesday, yeah, there was a bit of excitement, let's put it that way, in the room. And so and the interesting thing was that we actually had were here. It was super hot. It was like 39 degrees, 40 degrees, and we were here with a lot of the owners of the winery, and we're sweating through a strategy session and looking ahead and that sort of stuff. And then at some point, somebody walked in and said, "We're number three." It was very well timed. So we took a little bit of a break, you know, from that sweat box to celebrate and have a glass.
Yes, the sweat box. It's not near as glamorous as talking about wine, but we will t touch on it because last year's vintage, late June, we had the heat dome, highest temperatures ever recorded, as you mentioned. Some of the vines got sunburned. Some of them had to well deal with the fire, of course, and the loss of Litten. I kept thinking about you guys, and how, and I certainly wasn't going to call and bother you, but I was very conscious, and this year especially of the fires in the area, how you were working in and around them. Can you give us a 60-second encapsulation of what those the last vintage and this vintage is now currently like?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, we were shocked last year with the events that happened so quickly in at the end of June, June 30th, 2021, in our neighboring town, Litten, which is about 68 kilometers south from here, where essentially the town burned for the majority of the structures burned. And it makes us so conscious of the fact that we live in such a fragile balance between, you know, nature and us as being part of that system. So it was very tragic. It was very hot. It had a lot of impact on our fruit. And particularly when you looked when you walked through the vineyard in mid-July, we were pretty somber about, you know, the prospects of the 21 vintage. But amazingly, I think, you know, nature has a capacity to rebound, and people have a ability to rebound. So we saw our vineyard, you know, sort of take the hit, and then later in July and early August, it the fruit, you know, sort of recovered, and we did still have some sunburn, but not not the skins are very tough early July and that sort of stuff. So I think ultimately we had a very good harvest. We had a harvest that was just above average in terms of quantity. And what we saw is that, you know, I think due to the stunt of the heat, the berries remained fairly small. And small having small berries is sort of a winemaker's dream, just because you have so much more flavors to juice ratio. And for reds, it's just like the 2021 reds are phenomenal at this point.
But not the same amount of production, those smaller
No,
berries, yeah.
well, I mean, last year was not bad. I mean, like I said, it was just in quantity, was just a little bit above average. And I know that our colleagues in the Okanagan suffered a little bit because they had a shorter crop, but here in Lillooet, we were quite pleased with the quantity that we got. And so yeah, between the heat dome and harvest, and we didn't have a lot of smoke, so we don't have that smoke taint. The prevailing winds in Lillooet basically come off the ocean through the coast mountains and blow it further to the east. And so when with the fire in Litten, the smoke went down Spencer's Bridge and towards Kamloops. So we have fairly clear skies, which is surprising with all the fires over the years. The wind is just saves us from things like that.
No kidding. I'm thinking of which one do I want to talk about, the small lot series launch or the Lillooet VQA, because they're both important, absolutely important. But I think Red Rock, your plantings, because you want to be all Lillooet, do you not?
Yeah, that's absolutely our goal. So we planted 18 more acres in 2018 and 19. So we're just starting to see Red Rock come into production. It's going to help bridge that gap from what our productions, our wine production is, and what our grape production is. And because indeed the goal is to be 100% estate, and or at least 100% Lillooet, because we do source from small vineyards in Lillooet and so we're super happy with that. Yeah, the Red Rock, the plants are fairly small, and particularly in the heat dome last year, they suffered more than our more established Dry Creek. And yeah, and then we planted some green development in Red Rock.
So I got the dry Riesling small lot, 2021 Lillooet VQA. It's a small notice on a much larger label and a bigger story over here. That really caught my eye. Small lot in the 2020 Lillooet VQA. That's a big deal. It means you're here. You're not going anywhere. You can be found. You can be a destination. And people who care about their wines, and there's many of us, small lots are to be supported. If I got a choice between small lot and not small lot, I'm going with the small lot. It's a statement of what you want wine to be.
And it's interesting because if you look at the wines that won, they're all very small production numbers. Like the Pinot Noir 2020 is only 296 cases. The Merlot Reserve 2019 is similarly small. Like it's 248 cases. So all of these small lot development are about 200 cases. What we try now to do, and it's sometimes a bit of a challenge, but we have more and more wines, and the number of wines grow, but the lots decrease in size. So instead of having 1,000 cases of something, we have now 200 cases of this, 300 cases of that. Because then we're able to show and demonstrate a little bit more about what's happening in this block or what's happening in that block,
Hey, Rolf.
and that's and so fun to sort of taste things side by side, and sometimes we do end up blending it, but it's so much fun to taste it before
How
we do.
old were the vines? When were they planted, the Gruner small lot 2021? How long have they been in the ground?
So the Gruner Veltliner was planted in 2019,
Okay.
and so this was the very, very first harvest off that block,
Yeah.
and so. It's
And
like I said, we were super excited. We've been growing Gruner Veltliner in Lillooet since 2011.
yep.
We had 25 plants, so very, like we didn't make a wine with that that we sold. We made a little bit of wine that we had in the corner of our
Yeah.
cellar, and we would bottle it ourselves and share the bottles and that sort of stuff. But so we knew that Gruner would do well in our valley. And so we planted just under an acre in 2019. This was the first harvest that came off. Like I said, it suffered through that heat dome, but it's a very tough plant. It's originally from Austria, and in Austria, just east of Vienna, where they grow on the slopes of the Donau, on very steep south-facing slopes, it can get bloody hot as well. So like I said, it can endure that heat. It can really work with that heat, and so yeah, we're super thrilled with this, with how it turned out. Gruner Veltliner, for people that have never heard of it, it's sort of a wine that sort of has some components of Sauvignon Blanc, some has some structure elements from a Chardonnay, and it's a great wine. That has a little bit more complexity, I think, than Pinot Gris. And so, yeah, we're super excited about that.
By the way, just for your information, we had the Gruner and the dry Riesling, both a small lot last night with fresh caught spring salmon.
There we go.
It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break because when we come back, Rolf de Bruin is going to walk us through the Fort Barons Riesling and the Fort Barons Pinot Gris. And then we'll keep talking. This is Tasting Room Radio. The story is Fort Barons and their wines. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by The Hatch and JPC Customs. The Hatch is holding a Hobothon. Their Hobo Series Cab Franc and Gamay are being poured right now. Crown and Thieves are not to be outdone. They're pouring their second release of Pinky Blinders. The first year sold out, and their goo is going as well. And Wednesday, the 27th, it's Fast Wines at Crown and Thieves High. Three courses and three wines for $60. Truck 59 has music bingo going, and their canned cider peach pie, just one gold. And at Black Swift, the frenzies are flying out the door. Oh, by the way, check out the Meritage called Dino Juice. All the details at jpcfanclub.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from. The gorgeous 2021 Roussan Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. And in case you missed it, at the just completed 2022 All-Canadian Wine Championships, double gold medal for the Tariga Nationale, three gold medals for Arnaise, Malbec, and Tanat. Silver medals for Dead of Night, Syrah, Tempranillo, and bronze for Viognier and Border Vines. Mooncursor, the 2019 Best Performing Small Winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. Welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're doing a Zoom call with Rolf de Bruin, the co-founder and the leader of Fort Barons in Lillooet. We talked about the small lot dry Riesling from the Dry Creek Vineyard, and the small lot Gruner Veltliner from the Red Rock Vineyard with extended lees, you can tell. And they're both incredible in the mouth. Wonderful nose. Long, clear, clean finish. It's everything you want, particularly this time of year. With salads, everything you put in front of you, those wines will welcome them, and your mouth will say thank you. Also, we're going to talk about the Pinot Gris and the 2021 Riesling. This is the 2021 Riesling.
We started off with Riesling from the estate in 2012.
Yeah.
And in 2014, it actually won a Lieutenant Governor's Award for it. And we knew at that point that we had something good to work with.
Yes.
Again, it was the first harvest that we took off of a Dry Creek Vineyard. And it wasn't exactly in the style that we were sort of aiming for and that sort of stuff, because it was slightly sweeter than what we actually had,
yes,
had, you know, targeted. But that slight residual, so what we call a slightly off dry style is something that really took off and really resounded with our customers and fans. So this is a more tropical driven white with lychees and notes of muscats, some rose petals,
melon, citrus, is there some spice in there, or am I just imagining that?
Yeah, there is some spice. It comes off the sweetness and lots of lively fruit, green apples, pears, lemon zest.
Alcohol 12.8.
Yep. Because we leave a little bit of residual sugar, it stays nice and low, which indeed, I mean, I prefer my whites to be somewhere in the 12 range and the red somewhere in the 13 if we can do it. But it does get really hot here. It means that we develop lots of sugar in Lillooet. So we just have to pick it a little bit earlier. Just to keep it nice and light. But there's tons of flavor on this wine.
And the Pinot Gris. If you like Granny Smith apples, if you like, you said honeysuckle, I thought a pear note.
Yeah.
And this Pinot Gris is very, extremely handsome. 2021 Pinot Gris, how many cases?
This is 1,300.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, so what we do here is we do skin contact. And so we started, normally you take all your whites and you just run them through the press off the juice, and then you start your fermentation process. Here, what we're doing is we're taking in the grapes, we're lightly crushing them, and basically leaving them in a tank for 6 hours before we actually run them through the press. So we're picking up a little bit more of the textural flavors that will come off those skins, and gives the wine a little bit more structure, a little bit more aromatics, we're not leaving it that long that we're actually getting color, but we are drawing some of those compounds off the skins, and then we're doing that with a number of our whites just to enhance that flavor profile from what we're doing.
Okay.
It is all done in a very oxygen-free environment. So we use a lot of dry ice in order to ensure that it doesn't oxidize or it doesn't turn brown or other things. Because the longer that you leave it,
Sure.
the more of those risks you run. So we keep it contained, and like I said, lots of dry ice in order to keep it fresh and lively.
Rolf de Bruin, Fort Barons. Can we go rosé for a second?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Love rosé.
rosé all day, 365 days a year. This is a wonderful blend, 79% Pinot Noir, 13 Merlot, 8 Cab Franc. Well freaking done.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is all the state fruit. So it's we have an entire block of Pinot Noir. We always sort of every year we have discussions, shall we make a red out of it or do we continue with our rosé? And we just feel that there's so much flavor, so much freshness that comes off that block. So we use most of our Pinot Noir for rosé. And then we had some Merlot and Cab Franc in Red Rock that is just still maturing. So those plants are just still juveniles. And so we use those grapes as well. And it has 12 hours of skin contact, so we are able to extract color pretty quick. And and then it's lightly pressed and racked before it's fermented at a fairly low temperature. And
How long on skin for that color?
Yeah, 12 hours.
That's it.
That's
Yeah,
it.
I
Yep.
mean, are you a color guide? You know what that you want your color to be, yes?
It's the most, like, of all the winemaking things that
Yes.
we do in the cellar, the color of the rosé is always the most difficult to sort of get right. And so it's because you want it to be not too light, not too dark.
Okay,
It just
okay.
needs to have
Rolf,
this beautiful sort
the
of
reason why I
color.
asked that question is because I can't tell you how many different winemakers or principals or owners have said, "Yeah, we don't care about the color. We're just going for taste." And I'm trying to say, if you've not been in a store lately and you listen to the dialogue going on, the dialogue is all about color. They're buying on color.
But we taste with our eyes.
Yes.
If we go to a restaurant and we get a plate of no matter how making it delicious, but if it looks awful, then we're going to be like, meh. But if we get this plate that's beautiful and has all these colors and textures,
And thank you for the strawberries, thank you for the raspberries,
or
and
are
thank you for the color. Yes, you can have it as a patio sipper, but it is a gorgeous food rosé.
Thank you.
1,300 cases, well done. What else have I? Oh, the Chardonnay, making 840 cases. You want that lemongrass in there. You want that. You want the Chardonnay. As you know, everybody has a personal view of what a Chardonnay is to them. But what did you want this Chardonnay to say about Fort Barons?
Yeah, so again, this is 100% estate grown Chardonnay. Where we, it's here, our strategy is that we do want to create structure because our diurnal temperatures are so low, or the differences are so high that we get this crisp acidity in our Chardonnay. And that crisp acidity, if you just leave it, then it's just going to be a tart Chardonnay. So what we're doing here is we're layering that with malolactic fermentations. We're layering it with a little bit of oak. And in order to create a very lightly oaked Chardonnay that sort of balances the different aspects that we get from those cool nights, the rich flavors that come off the malolactic fermentation and some oak aging, as well as the beautiful fruit-driven flavors that come off the vineyard. And so it imagine almost a Chablis style where there's minerality that comes
Exactly.
off and but a little bit more richer just because our, compared to the northern part of France, we just got a lot more heat here. So you get more of those intense flavors of pineapple.
Chablis, yes. The Chardonnay, can we do price points?
Sure.
Okay, so let's start with the Chardonnay.
Chardonnay is available at the BC liquor stores, and that's the best place to find it, as is our Riesling.
Just confirm the Chardonnay is $22.99. The Pinot Gris is $21.99. Friends, listen up. The Riesling is $21.99.
Currently on sale on an LTO until September 30th at $20.99, the Riesling.
And, wonderful.
So that's a now, that's a great deal.
If you could just put the rosé on sale, it's $21.99, which is a great price. It is 1,300 cases. That one I like. The small lot dry Riesling is $24.99, 453 cases. A lot of work went into that. A lot of work. And I'll tell you who did the work. And the small lot Gruner Veltliner from Red Rock, $24.99. And once again, I just want to say congratulations on these awards. Number three, with the top 10 small wineries in Canada. Of the top 10 BC wineries, number six. Of the top 25 wineries in Canada, number eight. Three gold medals, two silver medals.
And a platinum.
And a platinum. And a platinum. You are a destination now. Can you dine there?
We like to say that we offer food. And the experience that we provide is a patio lunch from 12 to 4. And so you can enjoy the views, the weather, and that sort of stuff. But we don't have formal indoor dining. But it's more of an outdoor experience. And our tasting rooms open daily from 10 until 6. And then on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, the patio is open until 7. So it's not just the destination, but it's the trip here as well. Like, you know, like driving from Whistler to Lillooet is just the most amazing amazing drive
it is.
That you can do.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Very happy to report that you have new releases to choose from. The gorgeous 2021 Roussanne Marsan, the Carmenere 2020, the 2021 Dolcetto, and the 2020 Malbec. And in case you missed it, at the just completed 2022 All-Canadian Wine Championships, double gold medal for the Tariga Nationale, three gold medals for Arnaise, Malbec, and Tanat, silver medals for Dead of Night, Syrah, Tempranillo, and bronze for Viognier and Border Vines. Mooncursor, the 2019 Best Performing Small Winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Celebrating the gold that their 2021 Rosé won at the All-Canadian Wine Championships, the release of Soiree, their non-vintage fortified red, and the 2019 Syrah, which got 92 points from Dr. Jamie Good. You can find all the details and more at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back, Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. Now, we're talking with Rolf de Bruin from Fort Barons in Lillooet. They have gotten some great recognition from the Wine Line Wine Awards. We're going to ask him about the winemaker who made these wines. He's new, relatively. He's only been there a couple of years. And we're going to talk about their Chardonnays. After that, a conversation with winemaker Galen Barnhart from Monte Creek in Kamloops and Dwight Sick, the winemaker at Seven Stones in the Similkameen. Tasting Room Radio. Oh, the Chardonnay. The Chardonnay. The Chardonnay. Making 840 cases. You want that lemongrass in there. You want that. You want the Chardonnay. As you know, everybody has a personal view of what a Chardonnay is to them. But what did you want this Chardonnay to say about Fort Barons?
Again, this is 100% estate grown Chardonnay. Where we, you know, it's here. Our strategy is that we do want to create structure because our diurnal temperatures are so low, or the differences are so high that, you know, we get this crisp acidity in our Chardonnay. And that crisp acidity, if you just leave it, you know, then it's just going to be a tart Chardonnay. So what we're doing here is we're layering that with malolactic fermentations. We're layering it with a little bit of oak, and in order to create a very lightly oak Chardonnay that sort of, you know, balances the different aspects that we get. From those cool nights, the rich flavors that come off the malolactic fermentation and some oak aging, as well as the beautiful fruit driven flavors that come off the vineyard. And so imagine almost a Chablis style where there's minerality that
exactly.
comes off, and but it's a little bit more richer just because our compared to the northern part of France, we just got a lot more heat here. So you get more of those intense flavors of pineapple.
Chablis, yes. The Chardonnay, can we do price points?
Sure.
Okay, so let's start with the Chardonnay.
Chardonnay is available at the BC liquor stores, and that's the best place to find it, as is our Riesling.
Just confirm the Chardonnay is $22.99. The
Yes.
Pinot Gris is $21.99. Friends, listen up. The Riesling is $21.99.
Currently on sale on an LTO until September 30th at $20.99, the Riesling, and
Wonderful.
so
Now,
that's a great deal.
if you could just put the rosé on sale, it's $21.99, which is a great price. It is 1,300 cases. That one I like. The small lot dry Riesling is $24.99, 453 cases. A lot of work went into that. A lot of work, and I'll tell you who did the work. And the small lot Grüner Veltliner from Red Rock, $24.99. And once again, I just want to say congratulations on these awards. Number three with the top 10 small wineries in Canada. Of the top 10 BC wineries, number six. Of the top 25 wineries in Canada, number eight. Three gold medals, two silver medals,
And a platinum.
and a platinum. And a platinum. You are a destination now. Can you dine there?
We like to say that we offer food, and the experience that we provide is a patio lunch from 12 to 4, and so you can enjoy the views, the weather, and that sort of stuff. But we don't have formal indoor dining, but it's more of a outdoor experience. And our tasting room is open daily from 10 until 6, and then on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, the patio is open until 7. So it's not just the destination, but it's the trip here as well. Like driving from Whistler to Lillooet is just the most amazing,
It is.
amazing drive
It is.
that you can do. So absolutely.
Tell us about Rolf, tell us about your winemaker, who's not so new anymore, but he's still new winemaker.
He is. So Alessandro Nell joined us during COVID, and which made things all the more difficult and that sort of stuff. He was in South Africa, where he's been a winemaker at Cederberg for 10 years, and he was supposed to join us for a 2020 vintage. Didn't make it out of the country until the very, very end of 2020. So he joined us effectively for a 21 vintage, and so he was here right from the get-go, from pruning until harvest and the last crush and beyond. We're super thrilled to have Alex here. Like I said, he has a viticultural degree, oenology degree from in South Africa, and so very well educated, tons of experience, not just in South Africa but around the world. And then he moved to Lillooet. And for a lot of people, moving to Lillooet means that you go to a small town, but actually for him, that meant that he went from a town of 100 people to 2,500. So he came to this bustling town.
All I want to say is, I think what you probably formed this answer now. What does he bring to the wines? How is he going to change the wines at Fort Barons?
So the first thing that we did with him was we tasted through a massive amount of wines that came from our cellar. There were some beautiful things that are still standing up very well, but we sort of wanted to take him through just to let him know what we could do in Lillooet. And it's still a bit of a process, but I think the thing that he's bringing the experience that he's had with making world-class Chenin Blancs and Sauvignon Blancs from South Africa, or Shiraz from South Africa, from Pinot Noirs from Oregon and in France, and bringing that to a place where we are growing exceptional grapes and have an ambition to produce some amazing and world-class wines. And he's doing that by bringing techniques, things that we haven't done before.
By their very nature, winemakers will change. I mean, they can be beaten into submission and made to make the same wine as the last person, but that's what you when you hire a winemaker, as I understand, you work with them to make the wines better. They just got to be, they're going to be better. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think every winemaker has their own style, their own preferences, and which it's almost their signature, right? I mean, it's almost sort of the, you know, something that they put in. And at the same time, we have, you know, we have grapes that are produced here in Lillooet that are distinctly different from South Africa or Oregon or from even from the Okanagan.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wines.
Thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Congratulations. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Celebrating the gold that their 2021 Rosé won at the All-Canadian Wine Championships, the release of Soiree, their non-vintage fortified red, and the 2019 Syrah, which got 92 points from Dr. Jamie Good. You can find all the details and more at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is Wine Month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Tasting Room Radio at the very posh Vancouver Club. This is the Vintage 2021 Media Preview, as organized by WineBC. Barb Phillip was the Master Wine presenter. Galen Bernhardt, Dwight Sick. And we're going down the list of wines that we were poured here. The Monte Creek Ancient Waters Riesling 2021 from the Thompson Valley Barrel Sample, friends, and the Monte Creek Pinot Noir 2021 Similkameen Milky Way Valley, again, a barrel sample. Galen Bernhardt is has joined us. You cleaned up.
I try to. Every once in a while, they let me out of the
winery. Have to do that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But you're here for the wine festival as well.
I am. I'm here for the fashion show / wine fest.
What are you pouring there?
We've got a whole range. We've got our sparkling, our 2020 Living Land Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, 2020 Riesling, and then maybe a little surprise, which is a 2020 Cab Franc, our first release of Cabernet Franc.
Where'd you grow that?
That's down in a mix of all of our sites, actually. Beautiful sites, really small berries. Beauty of that 2020 vintage is they're really quite subtle wines. It's only 12.8% alcohol, very elegant, sort of delicate Cab Franc.
I'm kind of wondering where in the valley, how far north you have to go before Cab Franc is a little wobbly.
Oh, well, last year you could probably go to Salmon Arm, but, you know, in a normal year, you know, you might want to cut it off just below Penticton.
But how'd it turn out?
Beautifully, yeah. That 2020 vintage was interesting. It started off, you know, a little bit here and there, but it was a hallmark of lower sugars, but absolutely perfect tannin ripeness. So I'm really happy with the wines.
All right, so what did you bring to pour here today?
We had our 2021 Ancient Waters Riesling and our 2021 Pinot Noir, both of which are still in tank or barrel, so we're still working on those ones.
Well, normally, I mean, you'll pour barrel samples for people who come through the whatever, right? But this is a room full of people who want to know, who can influence. So that was a calculated move.
It absolutely was. We do have some 2021 wines in tank, but we felt like these are the most representative of the vintage, so I thought it was appropriate.
The Riesling just boom, just explodes in the mouth.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of concentration in the wine. Small clusters, small berries last year, so very concentrated fruit.
And the Pinot is unlike any other Pinot that I've tasted recently.
Well, that's good. This is a new one for us as well. It's our new vineyard down in Karamias, and sort of still discovering what it's all about, but the initial results are very promising.
Well, first of all, you wait to find out what the nose is like, what the palate is like, and then you go, well, is that what we want, or can we blend? So are you blending your Pinots?
Well, this is a blend of three blocks, but eventually we'll have the capacity to do all the blocks separate. We've got about 11 different Pinot blocks down there, and I'm hoping they'll all be separate because we've got about 5 different soil profiles, and I think they're going to be very, very distinctive wines.
So, Galen, it's a big deal for you guys to pour at the Vancouver Wine Festival.
Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that implies production as well.
It absolutely does. So, no, we're happy to be back here. We were here last in 2020, of course, and I think, you know, this year a little bit smaller festival. We're excited, though, because we expect that it's going to attract a lot of attention to the wineries that are there.
Okay. Any surprises coming later on in the year? Anything I'm going to go, why didn't he tell me that?
I think you're going to have to wait on that one, Terry. We'll
you have nothing under the table.
No, not yet.
Okay, have a good pour.
Thank you.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Dwight Zick, he is a winemaker and general manager at Seven Stones Winery in the Similkameen. You got a bag?
I do.
No wine in it?
No, not yet. I got to go fill it with wine.
Do you know where the wines are?
There's a couple bottles on the table over there, and there's nobody around.
What did you bring to pour today?
I brought along the new white that we're doing called Rainstone.
And I'm dying to know the blend.
It's primarily Chardonnay with a little bit of orange muscat. Mm.
Like 3%, 4%?
4%, yeah. Yeah. And the whole purpose of the wine was really to try and create wines more reflective of the region, the vineyard, and less about the winemaker.
He's Dwight Zick. He is a winemaker and general manager at Seven Stones Winery in the Similkameen. Okay, so when Dwight's talking about the region, we're talking about the Similkameen Valley, dead center, Seven Stones. And we only really knew it. I only really knew it for the reds.
Yeah.
So the whites, I'm thrilled to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I think we lose focus, I think, on the potential of the whites in the valley, just given the great natural acidity and the sense of minerality and energy that many of the white wines from the Similkameen have. And for me, having worked with other regions of British Columbian wines, it's some of the most exciting dynamic fruit I've seen.
Dwight Zick, he is a winemaker and general manager at Seven Stones Winery in the Similkameen. The second pour was the Pebble Beach Rosé. Now, I went looking in my little Google machine for where is Pebble Beach in British Columbia. Well, there's one in Lake Country. We know that. There's a Pebble Beach. What was the reference?
Well, the Pebble Beaches are in reference really to the numerous beach locations along the Similkameen River.
I fished it.
Yeah, so they're just stunning, and they're amazing locations, and there's one literally walking distance away from the winery that during the heat of the summer and the heat dome, it was a favorite go-to spot. And it just kind of resonated of, like, this would make a great label. And so we started the Pebble Beach.
It made a great rosé.
Yeah, yeah. And so we, given again the situation of the summer and the heat dome, we decided that stylistically it wasn't an ideal year for Pinot Noir, but if we farmed a little bit differently and picked with a little different parameters, we could make a really great rosé out of this.
Dwight Zick from Seven Stones Winery. Did you know the former owners?
Through distance.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew George. I'd met George. And
you knew how much he loved doing what he was doing.
Yes, very much so.
And the loss of his wife. And then he carried on alone. And he lived and died, literally, for those vines and that wine. How much of that do you want to carry on that he was working on?
You know, I'm trying hard to pay respect to all the accomplishments that George had built, and I'm hoping to carry on beyond that. Many of the wines of Seven Stones of the past have a huge impact and footprint that was left behind by George, and I don't want to try and even pretend to emulate that I'm making wines of George, because I don't think that's possible. So I'm putting more focus on the region and on our vineyards and our wine growing than I am the wine making. And I'm hoping that will be a proper step forward going on to life after George.
Dwight Zick from Seven Stones Winery. What's the year look like for you? Are you doing this project and others?
I am. I'm involved with a couple other smaller projects as well. This is kind of my primary focus for the season, but I'm still working with Chain Reaction on the Naramata Bench.
Nice.
I'm also doing my own label with Roche Winery, so Amulet Wines is still being produced.
Nice.
And I've got a couple other little growing projects as far as vineyards from a viticultural perspective that I'm spending some extra time on this
year. So you're not slowing down? Oh, maybe you are. It's a different.
It's different. Yeah. I'm slowing down, but I'm not just the man at one location. And for me, that feels as though I am slowing down, whether I'm busy or not.
You doing any dog walks?
I'm doing some dog walks.
Okay, yeah. What's the name of your dog again?
Priya.
Priya. Thanks. So, I'll look forward to seeing you down the road, and have a great whatever this year is.
Yeah. Thanks, Terry.
Okay. Dwight Zick, talking about Seven Stones Winery, the Rainstone White. and the Pebble Beach Rosé. He is a winemaker and general manager at Seven Stones Winery in the Similkameen. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. August is Wine Month in the Cowichan. You can relax and experience summer in the vineyards, taste award-winning wines, and meet the winemakers just as special as the wines they produce, including Unsworth. And it's all on a self-guided tour of the world-class terroir called Cowichan. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. And just a reminder that the very popular flights from downtown Vancouver to the El Dorado on Okanagan Lake have been reinstituted by Harbor Air. You can find them at harborair.com.